Now to the often underestimated power of people-to-people diplomacy, or in this case, piano-to-people diplomacy. Amber Hammond is an Australian classical pianist, and her project called Girl Piano Truck, that takes her to remote parts of the world to play piano to those least expecting a concert. She's played at Piatas, the largest inhabited rubbish dump in the Philippines, at psychiatric institutions in Belarus, and she's just returned from little concerts in Tanzanian orphanages and communities who have little exposure to music. She's now a peace program ambassador of the United Nations Association of Australia. Amber, thanks so much for coming to Between the Lines.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom.
Tell us a little more about the idea behind your performances and workshops.
Well, the idea came to me after a 25-year career of playing classical music in wonderful concert halls and theatres and fantastic venues where classical music is normally played. And that's something I don't take for granted and still very much love. But there was always something hugely special about having an occasion to play a concert in a school or in a retirement village or in an unexpected place and just seeing close up the faces of people who perhaps weren't used to going to a classical concert as regularly as your concert subscribers. And so I had this thought that I really wanted to take music further afield, and rather than have audiences come to me, go to them and find
lovely.
People.
Yeah. So you deliberately tap into something in the audience.
Yes.
Clearly something more than day-to-day survival.
Absolutely. I think that whilst there are so many millions of people existing in the world today who are focused on day-to-day survival and just trying to attain the basics to live a comfortable life, food, water, sanitation, I'm not in a position to be able to provide much help with that, but I certainly can give them some inspiration and try and uplift their souls with music. And I've seen that happen on a one-to-one basis. Seeing the faces of children who have never even seen or heard a piano before, when I start to play and they hear a piece of music that they've never heard before, but it resonates with them, and you see them, their reactions vary from shock to giggles to tears. And there's nothing more emotional than seeing a child cry because they're hearing music and they don't even know why they're crying.
What about the giant garbage dump on the outskirts
Piatas?
Of Manila? Yeah, Piatas. So that's not your regular concert venue, is it?
It's far from it. Very far from it, yes.
But it's a bunch of rubbish from which, what, many scavengers scrape out a meager income.
Yeah.
Why did you go there?
Oh, look, when I read about it and heard about Piatas itself and I knew that there were so many children living there. I felt that it was a place where I definitely needed to take the piano in. I knew that it would be as much a surprise for them as it would be for me. And it was a truly incredible time for me to be able to play to them. I actually did the concert on the first day I went to the Philippines, and it was so emotional and so moving. I ended up going back at the end of the trip and doing another
Wow.
one. And, you know, the trucks come in from Manila at the end of the day at about 10 o'clock at night, and that's when everyone gets to work, including the children, and they just start sifting through the rubbish. That to me means that there's a place right there that needs a little bit of an element of magic and something to give some hope and escapism from everyday life.
Where have you been most stunned at the way people respond to your concerts?
Probably one of the most chilling moments of all the travels I've done was in a mental asylum in Belarus.
In Eastern Europe?
Yes, in a remote forest about 2 hours outside of Minsk, where I was given permission to enter the confines of this institution, which was literally textbook double barbed wire. And I came into the concert auditorium, which was like an old hall, and I was peeping through the curtains as the people filed in. And literally the doctors in the white jackets were seeing the people through into their seats one by one by one until the audience was there, 300 people or so. And I did the concert for them, and I speak Russian, so I was speaking to them in Russian. Nice. And I was giving my concert, and I finished the performance with the Hungarian Rhapsody number 2 by Liszt. Big ending, crowd pleaser, you finish it and people always burst into applause. I finished it, stood up, and it was dead silent.
Wow.
And there was not a sound. And they just looked at me, this sea of haggard faces looking at me in shock almost. And I put my hand on my heart and I took a step forward and I just took a deep bow and I just said, "Спасибо большое, большое спасибо." And the entire room lifted to their feet. I get goosebumps now. And
that's
they were
great.
Cheering and yelling and crying and throwing little flowers at me. And
is that thanks in Russian?
Yes, thank you very much. Absolutely. I realised at that point, this is why I was put on Earth.
Well, indeed.
This is my mission. Yeah,
and what year was this roughly?
That would have been 2015, I think.
Okay, so yeah. It was just in the aftermath of the Ukrainian standoff.
Yes,
because
sure.
Belarus is just north of Ukraine.
Ukraine, yeah, yeah, near the Polish border. Yeah.
How do you operate? I mean, do you work with NGOs to make all this happen?
No, really? One man band. One woman band.
And the ideas for locations?
That's quite easy. People often ask me that. But I mean, for example, the Philippines idea came from when I went to my doctor's because I had to get a blood test and saw my pathologist, and she's Filipino. Her name is Iris. And she was telling me about her mother living in a very poor part of the Philippines. And I was so touched by her story of her family. I thought, well, I need to go there. And so about 3 weeks later, I'd organized the trip and I went back in and told Iris I was visiting her home. And she started crying and she said, thank you for what you're doing for my country. I hadn't done anything yet. But, you know, that's how I just talk to people, word of mouth. People suggest things. People say, oh, my daughter's a volunteer here, or I just hear something, and if it resonates, off I go.
Beautiful story. On Between the Lines, Amber Hammond is my guest. She's a classical pianist who runs Girl Piano Truck. It's a project in which she performs in remote parts of countries like East Timor, Tanzania, the Philippines. I did read that you were somewhat of a child protege, that you started playing piano at 3 years of age, and that you were taught by your mum.
Yes, that is all true. It wasn't my choice to start at three. I wasn't that much of a protege that I demanded piano lessons, but my mother started teaching me at three. And I think by the age of about five or six, I guess I was showing some type of talent, which was for whatever reason, whether it was natural or whether it was my mother's excellent teaching or whether it was the copious amounts of chocolate and bribery that she gave me, I'm not sure. But I had this very interesting mother. She decided to teach me the piano full time, and so I've never actually attended school. So I never went to primary school or high school or university. Yeah, it's just been music full time since day dot.
Goodness me. Yeah, it's quite an unconventional.
It is unconventional.
Yeah.
Very.
Now, when you play in remote parts of the world, you know, places like East Timor or Tanzania, for instance, does it bother you that you perform and then that's it? That's not a criticism of you at all.
No,
it's just, but
no,
do you consider how much
question.
Better long-term projects could be?
Of course, it's paramount for me to come away from the trip, absorb everything that I've done and think about all the interactions, and sustainability is very important. So, for example, with East Timor, I was told by the government on the first trip there that East Timor doesn't have a single piano in the country.
Wow.
And I thought, that's bizarre. To me, the idea of just not having a piano in a country.
Especially
so I did my trip.
Since the liberation in 1999.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I travelled from Dili to Bacau in the back of a truck and did my little performances. And I came back to Australia and thought, well, we have to fix this. So I approached a keyboard company and they gave me six, and I took them back on a second trip and gave them to the schools.
Wow.
So they now have six there in the schools where there's Catholic nuns who have good music knowledge and they're teaching the kids there. So that's important to me. So yes, sustainability is vital. And of course, I do try and make an effort to do various things with each trip. So, for example, in Tanzania in October last year, I took two keyboards with me, and at two of the different orphanages we played at, I'm talking about myself as though there's three of me. It feels like
well,
it sometimes.
Girl piano truck.
Well, yeah, exactly. I found out that at one particular orphanage, which was built by an Australian girl in Arusha, there was a young man who was 15, whose name was Kelvin, and it was his dream to play the piano.
Wow.
And they didn't have one, and there wasn't one in the area. And so I decided to donate the full-size piano to that orphanage to Kelvin. And I can tell you, he was a pretty teary boy when that happened.
And you travel with a translator.
No, I jumped onto Duolingo and tried to learn Swahili,
oh,
naturally.
Right. Now, what about in this country? I mean, do you like to go to remote Australia?
Definitely. I haven't done Girl Piano Track Outback Australia yet, but it's number one on the list. But I have actually, as part of other gigs that I've done, travelled and performed in places like Charters Towers and
North Queensland, New
Townsville. Palm Island, yeah. Mm-hmm. And for example, doing a concert in Palm Island, that showed me how much they are so starved of hearing music, like the music I was playing on a piano. You know, during my concert, I was playing a Chopin waltz, and this beautiful little girl, she was just gorgeous, she was about four, I think, she climbed up onto the stage during my performance and sat next to me whilst I was playing and just looked at me and looked at the keys, and I kept playing and I looked at her and I was smiling. About 5 minutes later, about 20 kids clambered up on stage and sat around the piano during the concert. That's what I want. You won't get that at the opera house.
No. Now, on the music front, do you play from the classical canon, or do you also explore some of the musical traditions or references from the country you're traveling to?
Absolutely, both of those. Yeah. I am a classical pianist. That's my background. I do play world music as well. I've recorded music of Piazzolla, so tangos, things like that. I'll play music that I know will click with the kid. So, for example, I'll always play Mozart's variations on Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And every country, no matter what, the children will burst into song in their national language. It's just glorious. Hearing in the Philippines, hearing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star in Tagalog, which is their national language, was amazingly beautiful.
Well, there's actually YouTube footage of you playing African songs and you have young Tanzanian men singing along.
That's right. Well, I think I was playing Jumbo Buana and they got very, very excited and all started singing and dancing in that way that only they know how. It was amazing. Or I'll play the national anthem. I'll try and find a folk song. So in the Philippines, they've got a little song called Tong Tong Tong, which is a song about a crab. And I said to the kids, I don't know if you know this, and I started playing it slowly and their eyes widened and they all burst into song. And it's a little song like a nursery rhyme that you play and get faster and faster and faster and faster until people can't sing anymore. And they burst into laughter. So things like that, yes, it's vital because it breaks the ice. It creates no barrier between us. It doesn't matter if I can't speak their language. The music's doing it all.
Now, a few years ago, you played a grand piano in Martin Place in Sydney to commemorate World Peace Day.
That's right.
Now, given your passion for playing to people who have had very raw experiences or hardship, where else would you like to make this sort of gesture?
Putting the grand piano in Martin Place for that midday performance as they released the doves was beautiful. It was really special, and I wish that it was something I could do a lot more of in CBD Sydney. I'd like to do the same thing in New York. I'd like to do the same thing in London. But I'd also like to continue taking Girl Piano Truck itself to places like, well, obviously Outback Australia, Iran. I'd like to go to Mongolia, Siberia, Athens, to Tent City to play to the Afghani children that are living there at the moment. And, oh, look, I'd go to Syria if they let me.
Syria.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I absolutely would.
And they're still in a civil war. Now, listen, what's a favourite for the audiences when you're on the road?
It's amazing how kids as young as 7 or 8 will stop dead in their tracks and listen intently to music by the Impressionist composer Debussy, his classic and very beautiful piece, Clair de Lune.
We'll take that away. That's Amber Hammond. She's a classical pianist and her project is called Girl Piano Truck. Amber, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.